Hi everyone, welcome to episode 56 of Tea in the Treetops podcast. I'm Annie.
And I'm Philippa, and this is the official podcast of the Tea in the Treetops book review blog. Today is Wednesday and it's July 26th.
And this week we're going to talk about Handmaid's Tale. We've been reading and watching.
Yep.
Plus the load of other news and things that we've been reading and watching. Okay, so to start with, we've got there's a load of new stuff to talk about. So firstly, welcome to all our new listeners. I know we've had a lot of new listeners in the last couple of episodes, so thank you for listening. But I found this brand new thing that I've put on our website, and that might help us to sort of cover our costs a little bit of putting this whole thing together. If you enjoy listening to our podcast, if you like our stuff, you can go on to this new site called Ko-fi, ko-fi.com, and you can buy us a coffee. So you only need to sort of put in a couple of dollars or whatever you want, like it doesn't have to be a lot, and it goes towards either buying us coffee, which basically this podcast runs on coffee. If you've been listening for a while, you probably know that.
Tea in the Treetops. Really, we should be caffeine addicts.
Well, you can buy me tea. I mean, that's fine.
I need my caffeinated beverages. I like tea too, don't get me wrong. But
I love tea. I went to the T2 tea shop yesterday, and oh my God, that place is amazing. And I bought some nice tea. But anyway, so if you go onto teainthetreetops.com, there is a button there that says buy us a coffee. And it's really easy after that. You just...
A sleep deprived, university, you know, brain addled
climate. Yeah, it should be easy.
It would be great.
Thank you very much.
I'm always up for coffee.
And we have to say thank you to Tracy, who has already bought us some coffee. Thank you so much. We really, we need it and we appreciate it.
Yes,
so thank
Tracy.
You. Okay. So actually,
books, TV shows, what are we going to start
so
with?
So Game of Thrones has started this new season.
Yes.
It's pretty full on already.
Haven't watched the latest.
Well, I know vaguely what happens avoid spoilers.
This is why you have to watch it straight away.
I know.
No choice, because I just can't stand these articles on news sites and things, because they give you this clickbait title, they give you an image, and from those two things alone, even with the spoiler alert, you can pretty much, if you've been watching the show, gather.
You know what's going on.
What the hell's going on?
And I also, because I was out on Monday night when I got home and Shane had just finished watching it. Oh, he hadn't finished watching it. He was watching the last part.
Just a second. You mean you're still married to him and he chose to watch that show?
No, I said he could. I said
okay, okay.
Because he couldn't wait. He was like, oh, you're going to be out tonight? I'm like, yeah. And he goes, can I watch Game of Thrones? I'm like, yes, you can watch Game of Thrones. Anyway,
because that's
I will
like
watch
kick
it
out of the house.
As soon as in
our house, I think if one person watched it without the other. I guess with pre-approval, it may be considered acceptable.
It was okay. I forgave him for that. It's only 7 episodes.
I know. I've already finished 2 of them. It was great. I can't say really anything.
No, we can't really say.
But
I am spoil anyone
so
else.
Looking forward to the next episode.
I know what's going to happen in the next episode too. So that will be really good. So yeah, that'll be episode 3 if you're listening later.
My other half has had this theory for years about how Jon Snow is going to find out about how he's a Targaryen.
Yeah, doesn't he already know now?
No.
Oh, okay. We know, but he doesn't.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, but I won't say anything because I don't want to spoil things that may hint at things for you. I know you spoilt my red wedding, but that's okay. That was seasons ago. I've come to terms with it, sort of.
I don't think you have. You keep bringing it up all the time.
Oh, dear. I won't spoil it for
you. Well, I'll watch it tomorrow night, or maybe tonight when I go home, and I'll let you know what I think.
Sounds good.
But anyway, on Monday night I was out because I went to see A Monster Calls, which is finally getting a cinematic release in Australia on the 27th, which is tomorrow.
We got it so late.
Yeah, so the rest of the world got it the start of the year, but for some reason we got it much later. So this is based on the book. I think we talked about it last time.
I definitely had a big rave about it last time because I had just finished it and I thought it was excellent.
Yes, well, the book was great, although sad.
I told you not to read it on the train.
And I did read it on the train and I did cry. But thankfully it was the middle of the day because I was going home early and there weren't many people around. Yeah, sitting on my own, bawling my eyes out on the train. That's how I roll. But yeah, it. I love the book. It was really great. Mm. And but the movie was really seriously creepy. Just
okay.
Beautifully made though, and the monster was like really
terrifying.
Yeah. Especially at the start when he's like coming up to Connor's window and like roaring in the window and stuff. That was like, oh my god. And there was some parts of it that was so tense and really quiet, like you feel like there's a jump scare coming, you know, but there never was. It was just really kind of eerie. Oh, it was so weird. But anyway,
Patrick Ness is just an excellent writer. Like, it's just so well written.
And
I
he wrote the screenplay too.
Did he?
I think so. Well, he might have co-written, like, you know, had help.
I'm impressed.
But it was extremely faithful, like almost to the word.
But that's the great thing when you have a shorter story. It works better for film. When you've got these massive stories that so much has to be cut, it just can't be. But when you have, to make it's it like some of the best film adaptations, I think, are from short stories because a short story comes across great as a movie, I think, generally.
Yeah, I think movies sort of basically are short stories, aren't they? They don't have, they're not very involved usually with convoluted plot or anything. So this one really works really well as a movie. So, and they added some bits, actually, that extra bits in the visuals, kind of whatever, but it really worked. So
it got very good reviews on Rotten Tomatoes.
It didn't. It wasn't like as epic as I hoped it would be, like thinking about the Pan's Labyrinth kind of production designer guy, whose name I can't think of right now. He's Spanish. It was amazing, but it didn't sort of, there wasn't anything super spectacular about it. But anyway, it was good. I recommend going to see it. So it comes out in Australia tomorrow. And our giveaway for tickets and that has finished now. But there are still some giveaways around. So if you just do a search for like a Monster Calls review Australia, then you'll find loads of them probably. Because there's quite a few bloggers who are doing it. The other movie I went to see was Wonder Woman.
Oh my god! Seen that. Was it good?
Yes, it's really good. It's. I don't want to go into all the amazingness of just the women directors and the women everywhere, like all of the Amazons.
Oh,
and the
maybe
start
I should
of it.
Make the effort to go see that before Uni goes back next week.
It's really. Mm. It's a well-made movie.
Yep.
And I reckon, go and see it.
Okay.
I want to go and see Spider-Man too, but I haven't done that.
Yeah, well, that's meant to be great. I still love the Tobey Maguire, Kirsten Dunst Spider-Man.
I liked the first movie.
I thought
apparently
it came out like the second one's the best, I think.
Oh,
anyway.
Okay.
But it's funny because to me they only came out like not that long ago, but it's been nearly 20 years.
Oh, really?
So I'm just feeling old.
Okay, that's amazing.
They came out in the early 2000s, so.
Okay. Wow.
I'm like, because I was like, how can I be doing the third reboot of Spider-Man like in the last decade?
It does feel like it was.
And my other half was like, what do you mean the last decade? That came out in like 2002, and I was like, whoops.
Well, apparently it's fantastic.
Yes, so it's meant to be very good.
When I'm going to get a chance to go see the movies, I don't know.
I don't know either.
So next week, I have to mention this because it's going to be crazy. Gishwas is on.
I have no idea what that
August 5th to the 12th. Gishwas is greatest international scavenger hunt the world has ever seen.
Okay. I still know nothing about it.
It's the brainchild of Misha Collins, who's the Supernatural in Supernatural.
Okay.
And it's a scavenger hunt. So it's like a list of random crazy things that people do, and then you take a photo or a video and you send it in and you get points. But all the money, it's also
charity
part
drive.
Of, it's a charity thing, and it's also to do with his Random Acts charity, and they raise money for, you know, helping people in third world countries and different projects like for that, for charity. And it's, obviously international. I'm in a team with some other Supernatural friends of mine. Band's friends, and it looks like a lot of fun.
Okay,
so that's starting next week, and I've never done it before. This is actually going to be the last one. Apparently they'll be doing something else weird next year, probably, because that guy never has a holiday, never rests. But I'm assuming they'll send out like a list of tasks to do, and we'll all just take one each kind of thing and just go and do it. And if you win, the winners of the whole thing.
Yep.
Like, we're not trying to win, because some people just go all in and just try and get everything
on
the list.
And what, it's first to get everything on the list, or?
I think it's the people who get the most points. I'm not really sure how the winner thing works. But you get to go on a holiday with Misha to Hawaii or somewhere.
Okay. There you go.
So, who knows? But yeah, it looks like a lot of...
to go?
Yeah, the whole team.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. So we say, bye kids, I'm off to Hawaii.
Oh, we're not going to win. Okay. Just say, we're just in it for the fun. I don't think it's going to be too psycho like that. But anyway, you never know.
Mm.
Okay, the other thing that's happening in a few weeks' time is the Brisbane Writers Festival.
Yes.
September 6th to 10th.
Which, yeah, I just don't know if I'll be going to at this point of time. I'll wait for my assessment load to...
Yeah, I mean, it's still ages away, it is still over a month away, but
that's the problem. It's going to be week five or something, which is going to be just horrendous.
Yes, so...
anyway, I'm just going to try.
The program has just been announced. There's, I guess, for the YA readers, the Love Your thing is on again at the Brisbane Square Library on the Saturday, and the lineup is mostly... Oz YA.
Yeah.
So we've got Garth Nix, Maria Lewis, Amy Kaufman, Jay Kristoff, Kimberly Starr, and Claire Christian, and Meg Caddy, who are all, I was going to say they're all like speculative fiction writers, aren't they? Except for Claire Christian. She's just the one who just won the text prize last year, but I'm pretty sure her book is a contemporary.
Yeah.
But everyone else is spec fic writers, so that'll be pretty cool. They haven't pulled in anyone from overseas this time, but
that's sad.
But that's okay. We've got some excellent Oz YA talent there, so that should be good fun.
Mm-hmm.
And other authors that are there in the main festival include James Phelan, who's a popular. He writes like a apocalyptic kind of, you know, spec fic. I think it's kind of more adult focused. I'm not really sure. I haven't read anything of his.
Mm-hmm.
Kimberly Freeman, who is the alias of Kim Wilkins, who's my lecturer at uni. and she writes fantasy under Kim Wilkins, but her Kimberly Freeman, I'm pretty sure she writes like crime-based things. I'm not sure about that. And there's loads more. I don't actually recognise many of the other authors that are there, which just is because they're not my genre. So... if you want to know more, if you're in Brisbane, go to uplit.com.au and the program is there and you can have a look and see what's on. They have loads of like really cool writing workshops and stuff at the Queensland Writers Centre there too as part of it. So I will probably be there as a volunteer again this year, depending on my, you know, assessment load as well.
So are we going to talk about... do you want to TV still? Because I thought about something else, something that I just realised today. I'm about 6 months behind. But I talked about probably 2 years ago now about Wheel of Time, thinking Game of Thrones and how they made this revolting pilot so that they didn't lose. There was this big legal battle between the company that owned the rights.
Yeah.
Because Robert Jordan sold his rights way before this was a thing to sell rights of... science fiction fantasy books because he wrote these in the 90s and like there was a game and stuff. Anyway, obviously that company lost their legal battle. The estate must have won because Sony now has the rights to it and they have a front
someone else. Yeah,
well no, Sony has it like and not this random company that no one's ever heard of and has flopped with everything obviously.
Yep.
So but Sony's actually got a front runner and everything selected now and
it's gonna properly happen.
It's absolutely happening.
Awesome.
So 14 books written by Robert Jordan, finished by Brandon Sanderson.
Yep.
Is that his name? Yeah. To be turned into a TV show.
It could be a really long TV show.
There's heaps to do. It's going to be interesting because it's a great time to make great TV.
Yep.
It's much more magical oriented than Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Like it's got the same political craziness. But it's much more Lord of the Rings-ish at the beginning, I would say. So I really hope they do it well. Yeah. I'm worried because of World of Warcraft, I think, because that has that mage's magic. And, look, I thought that looked great, but I could imagine to a lot of people it wouldn't appeal, like, if you know what I mean. There's no dragons, to my knowledge.
People who love fantasy, I don't think your average movie-goer, you know how Game of Thrones can appeal
sort of to people that aren't normally fantasy? Because it's actually not.
Because it's kind of...
There's the dragons. It's almost
realism, like.
But it's that's in, it, really.
Yeah.
No one's sitting there casting spells. There's the Lord of the Fire, sort of. But what else? Who's casting spells? There's no...
Melisandre.
But she's not actually doing anything. Like, it's not visualized. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, okay,
Well, there's a lot of visualizing with the channel and stuff in there.
The monster comes out of her... I don't think we could say that.
Okay, all right, I guess. But it's not the same as channeling.
It's not like magic. A ball of fire in your hand or something.
No, and there is more of that.
Okay.
That's so cool. In any case, I'm still very keen and I'm excited, and I'm only 6 months behind the times because all these announcements came out. Oh, maybe I'm not. I think they came out in like April. So, four months? Okay. 4 months behind.
Hopefully, but 14 fantasy TV's got a bit more of a after Game of Thrones. 14,000
page books. There's a lot of content. It's finished, so I think that's why it's been popular. Like, apparently, they were like so many people when Game of Thrones did well, try to get the rights to that.
Yeah, okay.
And they kept having to say no because of this company. So I'm glad it's all come out. So I think some of the same front runners that did Outlander are on this, so that could be good.
Right,
because Outlander looks spectacular. It's a great time to be working in TV. Like, the special effects have come a long way.
Absolutely, they can do just about anything these days.
I'm excited and terrified. It's one of those things, isn't it? Because I
haven't read any of them.
I read the first 12, and I have to admit, like, I would need
12.
Oh, maybe I read the first 11, but like, I just couldn't bring myself to do a full reread of all those books again, and it had been so long, I couldn't finish it out. But if a TV show comes. And I graduate probably before then I'll maybe consider a reread of it all again from beginning to end.
It's pretty cool.
I first read that first book when I was 13. I read the very first one. I found it randomly in the library, read it, then didn't realise or didn't find the second book. This was before I was really organised with reading. And then I read them in grade 12.
Good reads, that's all.
Then
I
started
say.
Them in grade 12 again, and I read the first one again and then just kept going. So...
I was going to read them at high school, and then my friend said that she just read the 10th book or whatever one they were up to at that point.
7th when we were in high school. Okay. There were only 7 out when I had finished high school in the holidays between uni starting and high school. Yeah, okay. I finished the 7th book.
She read had just come out, and she said
8.
Absolutely nothing happened in it.
Yes, nothing happened in 8.
And I was like, oh, okay, I'm not going to start reading those.
Yeah, it's funny because around book 5... I've
said that before.
Book 4 and 5 were just excellent. Like, the first two were a bit Lord of the Ring-ish, but it was okay. And then it got really good.
Mm.
And then you could just tell it was sort of weakening. But apparently, though, when Brandon Sanderson takes over, it's good and he gets it back on track.
I need to read some of his stuff too.
I don't know though. I don't know how it's all going to end. But I was so into it when the internet first sort of came out. I actually had a web page with all my theories on there.
Wow, like, really?
Yes, I did. I did. It probably is still floating around GeoCities or something somewhere. I think it was like bright blue with writing on it. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Bright blue with the writing on it.
Yeah, as GeoCities was.
Back in the day before there was any actual any graphic design.
Yep. It was just make it as bright and colourful as you could.
And the only rule was don't have bright blue with red writing on it because that was considered terrible. And it still is.
And don't have black with white writing.
Yeah, it still is people terrible.
People still have that.
I know. Anyway, so yes, that's something else to look forward to. And Hulu's still making Throne of Glass.
Oh, yeah.
TV show.
Good.
It's tracking along really well, apparently.
News about that.
And considering they did The Handmaid's Tale, and that's just been excellent, which we can talk about in a second, I am actually very excited. I think they're calling it the Queen of Shadows series, though, is what they're naming it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that is exciting.
I really hope they do a good job.
It's not long till the next book's coming.
I know.
Okay, well, do you want to talk about Handmaid's Tale then?
Yes, I'm happy to talk about it.
Okay, so let me just tell you first that I have not watched all of it. I have watched the first 2 episodes and then I chickened out and read the book. I'm just after halfway through the book. I have to say at this point, I am enjoying the book way more than I am
series.
The book is beautifully written. Have you read the book
at all? No. It's one of those things. I thought I had. read the book when I went through my massive dystopian phase, which was in my 20s, and I picked up every classic sci-fi dystopian book I could. And I had assumed I'd read it, and I've realised I absolutely definitely didn't. It was always obviously one of those ones on my list to read, but it wasn't. And I feel like I've missed out because I feel like how can I have read all these classic science fiction novels and missed that one? But
when was it actually published? Is it
the 80s?
Okay.
The 80s, which is why it's just so amazing that it fits with today's. And I just love that every single thing that she uses in it has happened in history. She doesn't make it all up out of her head. But there
We should really start by saying what it's about and stuff first, hadn't we?
That's probably so a good idea in case someone's living under a rock and hasn't heard about it.
Yeah, so this is A Handmaid's Tale by Margaret Atwood is the book.
Mm-hmm.
So in the near future, pollution and whatever has made radiation probably has made the fertility of the population go drop drastically. Lots of people are having sort of deformed babies or they can't have babies at all. And so what's happened to this girl who's the main character is she is one of the fertile people.
Mm-hmm.
She's been kidnapped and she's forced to be a handmaid, which is basically she lives with a rich couple who can't have children, and she's basically the husband is trying to get her pregnant so they can have the baby.
She's basically prostituted out for a womb.
Yeah. Yes.
Yes.
So.
Sorry.
And there's this big. Horrible. I just find the detail in the society so amazing. Like there's this big kind of the handmaids, and then there's the Marthas who are like the serving people.
Mm.
Yeah, and then they all do their little rituals every day. And it's just, I just really love the detail of it.
So it's really hard because I finished it and you haven't, and I absolutely don't want to spoil it.
Okay, good.
I love. I'm kicking myself that I have never read this, and I will have to read it.
The
now.
The book is really amazing.
And everyone says she's an excellent writer. But I dropped the kids off at school. And I was like, oh, I'll watch the first couple of episodes because you said you wanted to talk about it in the next podcast. And I found myself 6 hours later, which is how many hours I've got basically before I have to go pick up again.
Yeah.
I had just devoured it. Like I had it on the iPad when I had to make lunch or fold clothes or whatever, so I could keep watching it because I got totally hooked. And it's just,
it's very confronting.
It is. So it draws you in and it terrifies you.
Yeah.
And makes you feel uncomfortable all at the same time. And it's just one of the best dystopians I think I've ever read because you really can see how the world got to where it is. Sometimes the leaps are a bit too much. Like yes, you can see it, but you're kind of like, it's not that. I don't know. I think sometimes it's a bit dramatic. Well, this I felt was
not too far fetched.
It wasn't, and you could just see, and it was just done in these little steps, and it was so insidious. And I just feel that with today's current offence, it is just so topical. And I think I could just really see the world if pregnancy and birth became such a difficult thing to get through, you could just see that women would be like their wombs would become a trading of value. Yeah. It would become a property thing. And while I get their male logic towards it, it still is so, this is the problem, isn't it? Because you get the logic behind needing a birds, but you also you can't squash a people, you can't repress a people to take away choice. I don't know, it's just creepy.
The other thing that I'm finding with the book that hasn't come up, like, may I say, I'm over halfway through the book. I've only just got up to where I was up to in the show. Mm-hmm. So I've watched two episodes, and that's the first half of the book. So the first half of the book's quite slow, but the great thing about it in the book is that it's in the first episode of the show, you learn about everything that's going on in the society in that first episode. Yeah. Like they do the ceremony. Like she gets abducted, they do the ceremony. She does her little rituals with the other handmaids, whatever. In the book, you don't know anything of what's going on. Everything is just really gradually revealed. They don't actually do the ceremony and have sex until like several chapters in. So yeah. if you didn't know anything about the book going in, you'd just be like, what is going on? I've got no idea. And it would be so creepy. Yeah. So I really wish I'd read the book before I saw the show now.
But you know, in the show, they do a lot of flashbacks to this sort
of
stuff.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so there are flashbacks in the book as well, mm-hmm. but it's a lot more gradual. So anyway, the other thing, the other sort of theme that's in the book mm-hmm. that hasn't really come across in the show is that when people do bad things for the right reason, they do bad things, but they think they're doing it for the right reason. Does that really make them evil? Like if the powers that be are trying to protect like the fertile people in the community by controlling them, and they're oppressing people, but they believe it's for the right reasons.
Yeah.
And it's just a really interesting sort of social commentary.
But this is what I love about dystopia as a genre, because I just feel that it allows you to explore these real fundamental moral issues in a safe-ish space.
Yeah, in a kind of fictional space.
But it's things that people don't in their day-to-day lives think about, and it just happens. Like, the bank accounts, you know, women all of a sudden can't access their bank accounts and their pay, and they're like, what the hell? And they have this brilliant conversation, and it's not spoiling anything for the overall show, but it's just such a, and it was just such a great reminder in the TV show of attitudes and, you know, a repressed bias type thing, because the girls can't access their bank accounts, and her husband, who is well-meaning and a lovely guy, and he goes, don't worry, I'll look after you, I'll make sure you've got money. And the friend goes, we don't need someone to look after us, that's not the point, why are you saying that? Like, and he goes, oh, I'm not a bad guy here. And it's just showing that even people that are good still have this innate belief that women sometimes just need to be looked after or protected. Like, do you know what I mean? And it's just, it's just this constant little bits and pieces that just make you go, that does happen. And that happens all the time. It just happens all the time in life. And why? It's, I know. It's very deep. And there's probably 100 billion things more I would like to say too, but I just don't want to say too much.
There are actually loads of study guides and stuff out there from, that talk about all of the issues that, but I didn't get a chance to look at them before now, so.
And it's probably better not to if you haven't finished it.
No, that's right, yeah. No, I'll finish it
the
soon.
Ending
it's not
of
that
the TV
long,
show apparently is completely true to the book.
Okay.
I loved it. A lot of people hate it.
So is there like some big major twist at the end? Or?
They're actually making a second series, which is completely new. Margaret Atwood's involved.
Oh, right, okay.
But they are continuing the story. But the book is all standalone. There's no further book. So
right, okay.
So, yeah, it's not such a big deal in the, because a lot of dystopians do end on that sort of a nothing ending or a what the if it's going on.
Yeah.
Unless
they're YA dystopians where, like, you know, everything works out in the end but loads of people die. It seems to be the...
Yeah, but it goes with the very classic dystopians. It's definitely one of those things. Yeah. I don't know. I loved it, but I like the genre, so I'm okay with it. I expect it. I'm not shocked by it.
Okay.
But, yeah.
I'll keep that in mind. Are there going to be more tissues required, or is it like...
No.
Oh, okay.
No tissues required. I don't know. The show was excellent. It's one of the best things I have seen on TV in a long time. I was very impressed.
I was impressed with the first couple of episodes, but they made me so scared to watch any more that I thought, no, I'm going to have to read the book first.
Yeah. It has, though, made me feel like I'm more... I feel like I look around the world and I see things and that makes me more angry, because I do feel that... I don't know. I have some issues with male and female gender roles and bits and pieces at the moment, and that's probably the trigger. I don't know. I don't know.
Dear.
It's opened. It's not a terrible thing, but I think, yeah. Sometimes I'm sad that I have little girls, and I really hope the world is a good place for them.
Yeah. Well, hopefully this world doesn't come to pass, because it's pretty horrible.
Well, it's only in America in that...
Yeah, because they were trying to flee to Canada, weren't they?
To flee to Canada. But, I mean, the birth rate's terrible everywhere.
Yeah.
Like, birth is terrible everywhere. It's funny because there's another dystopian. I haven't read the book, but I have seen the movie. I think it's called Children of Men. And it's another one where humans all of a sudden became infertile.
Yep.
And it's been, like, 10 years since the last child was born.
Oh.
And the world is just collapsing into itself because what's the point? No one has anything to hope for. No one has anything to create because everyone's dying. Mm. No one's being born. And it's about society's complete collapse.
That sounds and true. And then
one woman, and he somehow gets involved through a contact. She's sort of in this sort of like activist group, and they have a woman who is pregnant. Oh, and they're right. trying to get her away so that she's safe to give birth because people will tear her apart in excitement. It's a very gruesome movie. It's hard. It sounds like it's based on, again, a dystopia, but it's a really, it's another one that's really, I actually think it's a good one to watch with Handmaid's Tale because they both sort of tackle the same topic, look at it in a very different way.
Hmm.
But yes, it's good. Children, okay. I'm positive it's called Children of Men. Okay. I'll have to double look it up.
Well, if you want to watch Handmaid's Tale, it's on, in Australia, it's on SBS, mm-hmm. on demand.
Binge watch it, as you I did.
Stream it.
I suggest binge watching it. I actually found it a really good way to watch it.
I wanted to, after I'd watched the first two episodes, I wanted to know what was coming next. You know, it was really, mm-hmm. it was very compelling. So yeah, on SBS, I don't know what channel it's on anywhere else in the world, so you're on your own. All right.
Have we finished with TV?
That was a big TV talk then.
There is.
I think that is it. Okay, well,
books?
Shall I talk about what I've been reading since it isn't much?
Okay.
So I haven't read much recently. I'm not even sure why. I just haven't. I've been in a big reading slump. I've been really busy with work. I've been on holidays from uni, but not reading for some reason. So anyway, I read a couple of 10th Doctor comics, graphic novels, which are great. But if the Titan comics 10th Doctor stories, they're really good.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't probably officially count towards my actual reading total. How are you
feeling about the female Doctor?
We haven't talked about that. I'm happy. Like, she's a great actor, so
I don't know her, but I was like, oh, that's kind of cool.
She was in Broadchurch. Yeah, she was like the mum in Broadchurch. But I don't really care one way or another whether it's a male or a female. I'm just happy that they've got someone good, and see, as long as the writing is good, then I'm sure the show will be good as well. I just,
because it's lost Stephen Moffat as well, hasn't it?
Yeah. So Chris Chibnall's taking over in the showrunner, and he actually was the one who did Broadchurch as well, which is kind of weird because he's brought his actor along with him. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what happened there, but
always happens.
But no, I'm looking forward to the next series. It should be good. I'm still sad to see Peter Capaldi go. He was really awesome.
Okay, so, I'm finally up to. I'm like mid season three. I just saw Blink again.
Oh yes,
Blink was like the last episode I watched.
Well, from there on, basically, is awesome. Sorry,
I'm. Further than that, because he's found the fellow Time Lord. I mean, that halfway through that episode, they go to the end of the Earth or the end of the universe.
Yeah.
And there's like another Time Lord who was hiding out without realizing
they were hiding out. Oh, yeah, okay, I know who you're talking about.
So I'm up to, I'm with Master.
Yep.
Right now, and I'm in the middle of a to be continued, and I'd better get onto it because otherwise uni will go back and then I won't be watching it for another 10 weeks.
Yeah. Yes. So you're about to get to the series with Martha, with Donna. She's my favourite.
Okay.
So, yeah, Donna's awesome. Oh, that's good. Everyone, like, I've got some other friends who are just getting into Doctor Who as well, so lots of new Whovians to talk to. That's good.
All right, back to books.
Okay, so the one thing I did actually start reading before I started Handmaid's Tale, which I had to stop halfway through, was
it's a behemoth.
Assassin's Fate.
Humongous. My Robin Hobb,
the brick of a book. I am like probably a third of the way into it, maybe further. And it's awesome. I love her writing. It's just really good. But it's so heavy.
Is it still really depressing? Does everything horrible happen to Fitz?
Well, yeah, obviously. I mean,
when is anything good happening nothing in good his happens. Life?
But and I'm terrified about the end of this book because a few people have said to me that they bawled their eyes out at the end. I was like, great. Bawled my eyes out
in the first one, so I'm not surprised.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Robin Hobb's really good at torturing all of her characters badly. So
she hates her characters. That's what I think.
It's sort of slow going, and I was like, we had some random family emergencies in the last couple of weeks, and yes. I just couldn't cope with the heaviness of it.
No,
so
that's fair enough.
So that's why I started reading Handmaid's Tale for something a bit lighter. I actually started reading the girl who circumnavigated Fairyland in a ship of her own making or whatever. September. It's the longest title ever.
I know. I couldn't actually put the whole thing on my Instagram currently reading thing because I would have had to delete everything else.
Yeah, yeah. It's too long. So I'm sort of got partway into that, and then I had to stop because I wanted to read Handmaid's Tale. So
yeah.
It wasn't quite like giving up one dark thing for another, but so yeah. So actually coming up, I'm desperately want to read The Undercurrent by Paula Weston because
I managed to get a copy
and it looks amazing. But I've just found out, I went to uni for the first lecture tonight, and I'm doing manuscript editing this semester, which I'm really excited about. And our first assignment is a acquisitions report. So we've got to read a debut book, Australian book.
Very excited.
No, we've got to read. Report. No, the report itself won't be that exciting, but we've got to read a debut book in the recent one and write this report about it. But the list of books that is on there is really, really good. And one of the books is Vigil by Angela Slatter, who's that?
Okay.
The paranormal kind of thriller that's set in Brisbane.
Cool.
So I'm going to read that in the next few weeks. Excellent. Because my assignment's due in like 3 weeks, so I better get onto that. So I'm probably actually going to put a hold on Assassin's Fate for a bit longer until I get this other stuff read.
Assassin's Fate to be continued indefinitely. Yes.
No, I will definitely finish it, but
I'm just going to say on the Robin Hobb thing, I thought it was funny. I'm in this Facebook group about, you know, your kids can, it's called Your Kids Can Read or something, and it's all for people to recommend things. Heaps of authors set up by Alison Tate, who wrote Mapmakers Chronicles. Heaps of librarians and writers, like published writers in this group, which I didn't realize when I first joined it. Now I feel slightly daunted. But anyway, someone asked the question. I have a very mature 15-year-old who's a very good reader. He's desperate to read the Game of Thrones books, but I'm worried about the content. Should I let them read it? And look, I'm always a believer in you don't ever bother.
Did you say 15-year-old?
Yeah.
Oh, and yeah,
I was like, personally for me, I don't think you should, especially when I hit those teen years, which is such an important time, especially for boys, to keep up a love of reading. So many are reluctant readers. I feel like you don't ever...
don't ban them from reading.
You don't ban them. You don't limit them. You don't restrict them. It'll just make them want to read it more.
Yeah.
But anyway, and I wrote a comment about that and lots of people agreed, but a lot were very horrified by it. But somebody suggested instead of Game of Thrones to read the Fitzchivalry series by Robin Hobb.
I read those ones when I was a teenager.
I mean, I did too, but I'm like, you have a problem with the graphicness of Game of Thrones, but you're going to read something about torturing and poisoning and everything that could go horribly wrong with this poor person.
A lot of people
like,
die. Oh.
I was like, I'm sorry, but if you have a problem with Game of Thrones, you also will have a problem with this. This is not light and fairy. It just is not. If you don't have a problem with that, you shouldn't have a problem with Game of Thrones. End of story.
That's pretty funny. Have you actually read the series? Because if you'd read it,
well,
you would know.
Well, it was funny because they went off on this tangent then about should you read the books before your children do. And I was like, who has the time to read these 1,200-page bricks?
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Well, if you're getting to fantasy, yeah.
I don't know. No one ever said no to me about reading anything when I turned about 12. I read whatever I wanted.
It was all in the school library, so I just read whatever was there. It wasn't like anyone said, you should read this. I just picked it up off the shelf and went, this looks all right.
Yeah, I just thought it was very interesting because a lot of people are very horrified with teenagers reading Game of Thrones. Like, I would never be horrified with a teenager reading anything.
There are some really dark stuff in the books, though, more than even than the TV show. But
let's be real, that first book is a pretty dry read. It's not a very, not like the show. It's a dry read, and I'm sorry, a lot of teenagers ain't going to get through it.
It doesn't get better until later in the series.
Yeah, I know, but that's a lot of pages to get through. To the good stuff. Because I know I'm not interested in even trying the books. Maybe when they're all done, maybe.
Yeah.
Apparently next one's coming out next year, he's announced, apparently.
Yeah, I heard that today, yeah. Well, no, it said maybe.
I wouldn't be holding my breath.
It said maybe 2018.
Two seasons have managed to come out before It's going to be finished before. Yeah,
the whole story will be finished.
I bet you there are so many disappointed marketing people that have just been like, God damn this writer.
Oh, they just probably don't care anymore.
No, I think he would have. I think they probably just went past disappointed last time, last season, when they were trying to get it in line with that. Okay, sorry, right, we're back on Game of Thrones.
What have I been reading?
I have been reading. It's very exciting.
You're still on holidays.
I know. Only for 2 more days.
Oh.
And then, well, the weekend, but kids are with us on the weekend, so I don't ever count the weekend. Okay, so where do I start? I just finished They Both Die at the End by Adam Silvera.
Yeah.
I'm on a bit of a magical realism kick at the moment.
Yeah.
Which is funny. It's not normally my genre, but I'm quite enjoying it. I think it's the whole Patrick-ness love affair that I'm going through. I really did like A Monster's Call Monster Calls or whatever it is. So we talked about this, I think, in our last episode. This book, it was on the list. Yeah, because it's one of the September releases.
Okay.
One of the many September releases.
Yes.
And I really like this. I don't think he's writing, like a lot of people love the author.
Yep.
This isn't his first book. But this is his first sort of out of contemporary into more sci-fi, magic realism, sci-fi. I don't know what you'd put it. It's kind of an alternate version of Earth.
Okay.
So basically the premise is they've come up with a technology where they can tell who is going to die that day.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a company called Deathcast, and they call everyone. They try and get everyone called before 1 o'clock in the morning.
Nice.
And it's got a special ringtone that will come through. You have to sign up to agree to be part of it.
Right, yeah.
But you get called. So if it goes, you know you're going to die in the next 24 hours. They can't say when, they can't say how, but you will die. And so the story is from two boys' perspectives, and both of them have got the call. They know nothing about each other, and they hook up via this app called The Last Friend, which will allow you to, you know, it was originally sort of made more for really lonely people, but, you know, through certain circumstances, they both are looking for someone to spend the last day, get there, last few bits and pieces done.
Right, okay.
And considering it's a tricky one because you know what's happening because the title says it all. But you just don't know what's going to happen, and it was just so brilliantly finished. I don't know. I got a bit emotional, I'm not going to lie. It was very good. I just thought though the final sentence of that book was just, it was just a brilliant wrap up. I couldn't have thought of a better ending. Yeah, so I do really recommend that one. I think that will go down well. It is tough though, and there's a lot of I had through my head the entire time this whole thought of, do people die because they've been called? Like, has that caused death? Like, there's that whole theory, and that's not really touched on at all. And I really kind of wish it had, because like a lot of these people only go to do these things that they die from because they got the call in the first place. Like, other stories and things, but it's a really interesting concept. Like, everyone blogs their final days, and you know, you can read and follow people that know that they're dying, what they did on their final day, and they all the stories just cut out because, you know,
they don't get to die.
it was a very interesting premise. It was a little bit weak at a couple of points. I didn't give it 5 stars. I think I gave it 4 because it just was a little bit weak, I felt, in the storytelling and a couple of bits. Like, with, they just randomly added different perspectives of people that really weren't that important to the storyline. I didn't really think that it was of great value. It was a bit odd, to be honest, but I don't know. It was only a review copy. It may get tightened a little bit before it's actually released.
Yeah.
So that was very good. Okay, so then other ones that I've read. Next one is not a new book. I'm about 2 years late to the party. And that was We Were Liars by E. Lockhart. Now, I read this. Yeah, I think it was 2015 release.
Wow.
I read this because we went to a book club on Friday night, which we haven't spoken about. Maybe later. And one of the ladies that owns a bookshop, works at the bookshop, also runs a library association book club, obviously does a lot more reading of books than I do.
Yep.
Was like, in their library association book club, not a single person got the ending or the twist
that's right.
in this book, no We Were Liars by E. Lockhart. And I was like,
That's challenge accepted.
I'm sorry. I had to see if I could pick up this twist. And so it wasn't a long book. It's only like 200 and something pages. It's short. It's great reviews. I thought, I can do this. I'll read it.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I was hooked. It was such a not me normal. It's really contemporary.
Yeah. What is it?
About like rich kids. Thriller. Rich family. Like a, it's like a rich family. Nope. It's not even a murder mystery. Oh, okay. She's just got like post-traumatic stress or missing memories. And it's about this really rich family on an island. And no one wants to deal with their feelings. And, you know, her and her, you know, cousins basically. And so anyway, though, you can't do reviews for this book. It is just such a hard review because you just don't want to give anything away, because the twist at the end is just like, oh my god, I just did not see it. No. And I had all these, I was waiting and I was looking and I was like, is somebody being raped? What's happened to her? You know, something happened to her because she can't remember stuff. No one's really talking to her about it. She gets severe headaches. She's got issues. She had burnt, like, you know, things on her body. And anyway, I was like, she's been raped. She's been abused. What the hell has happened to this chick? This is terrible. Like, the grandfather must be a monster or something. And I was so wrong. It is such a great, it is just like, read the book. That's my only thing I can say about this.
Okay.
The writing was beautiful. Some people hated it. Oh, I thought it was amazing. I just thought it was really poetic. Yeah. I gave that 5 stars, and I think that that will be the best book I read this year.
Wow.
That's my gut. I read it in one day. I loved it. Mm-hmm. It was just so good. Okay, so now I've talked about the best read I've read all year, and maybe I'll be wrong, but I reckon that'll beat whatever the next Sarah J. Maas book is.
Oh, wow, okay.
It was definitely better than A Court of Wings and Ruin. And I mean, yeah, I love that.
Wow.
But yeah.
Jeez.
Okay. It's a big call. It is a big call. So then moving on, I read another review book for September release, which I think you're keen to read as well. And that's One Dark Throne by Kendara Blake. So I read the first one last year thinking that the second one was already out or about to come out to the Discovered Dirt. It was a whole year.
So that was 3 Dark Crowns.
That was 3 Dark Crowns. Now, I had picked kind of what was happening with that one.
Yeah.
I loved it. This one was excellent. Lots of action. Hasn't gone exactly where I thought it was going to go.
Okay.
I still don't quite get where it's going to end up, but it's been, I loved it. I really liked it. I don't really want to spoil anything.
No, you don't need to tell me what happened.
No, I won't tell you what happened.
So in the first book, it was about the 3 queens who,
yes,
who only one of them could be the queen, so they had to try and kill each other.
And they're continuing with that.
They each had their own gifts.
It had a massive twist at the end, a massive cliffhanger.
Oh, no, I hate that.
You can't remember it?
Oh, you mean the first one had a cliffhanger? Yeah. Okay, yes, I do remember.
Okay,
I thought you meant the second one had a cliffhanger.
So that's some really big... there were 2 major things that happened in the end of the first book. And it's interesting to see where that went, because it's not gone where I expected it to go. It's followed a totally different path, but it was a very good story. I'm really interested to see where it goes next. It's definitely not a... I was wondering if it was a two-parter at the beginning, okay, if it was a duology. It's not. It's absolutely not.
Do you know
finished.
If it's just going to be a trilogy, or is there more?
I think it's going to be 4.
Okay.
I have a feeling I've read that somewhere. I don't know why, but I don't think they're going to be able to wrap it up.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, and I won't talk too much about it because you're about to start reading it too, but I also audiobook listened to The Girl Who Circumnavigated Fairyland in a Ship of Her Own Making, yes, which is very quirky, Catherine, middle grade. It's great. Catherine M. Valenti, I think it is.
Yep.
She actually narrates the first one.
Oh,
she doesn't narrate the next one, but she narrates the first one.
I love it when they do that.
I actually didn't like her voice personally. It's not one of the better audiobooks.
Oh, okay.
Do you know I've nearly listened to 60 audiobooks?
Oh wow.
Oh my god, I was just like, I don't know when I've listened to all these books, but I have.
That's great.
I know. So I really liked it. It's very quirky, very whimsical. I think it's a very fun read. It's definitely middle grade. It reminds me a little bit of Jacqueline Moriarty's Madeline, Colours of Madeline series, but that is of a higher calibre. It's definitely one's for a younger crowd than the other, but the Jacqueline Moriarty, I think, is a bit of a tighter story, or it's just a bit...
It feels a bit Alice in Wonderland-ish.
There is a very...
It's like a bit bizarre, you know.
It's all a bit topsy-turvy.
What's the word? Eccentric.
It is. Yeah. Yeah, just the names and everything. It's all very eccentric.
Yeah.
So I think it's still worth... If you're needing something light, it's good.
Yeah, I'll read it eventually.
There's four in that now.
The rest of it, I haven't finished.
There's four books in that series.
Oh, yeah.
I've got the second one on audiobook too, but I've just decided to take a breather on that one.
Okay.
Because I got the audiobook of York, which is the first book of another middle grade series called The Shadow Cipher by Laura Ruby. Now, Laura Ruby is a critically acclaimed author of a YA book called Bone Gap. Yep. Which I've actually started reading as a actual physical book as well.
Yep.
Because I try and have one of each on the go. So I'm a bit all over Laura Ruby, which I've never read before, at the moment.
Yeah, okay. Is it hard to keep track of two books by the same author?
No, I always have two books on the go anyway in that respect. Because I audiobook when I'm in the car or going to sleep, and I read... If I've just got time to read,
it's like
type thing.
Extreme multitasking.
Is it? I don't know, because I've been doing it for so long. I only find it a bit crazy when I'm audiobook and reading the same book because I'm so desperate to get to the end. Yes. That's probably a bit extreme. I'm absolutely loving this book, York. It's just such an excellent, it's not like Harry Potter in the fact that there's no school or anything, but it's got that same. Like, you know, that really exciting, young, wonder. Wonderful, yeah, that feeling of wonder, it's got that. So
I nearly bought it. I nearly impulse bought it.
Because the cover is gorgeous.
The cover was so beautiful.
Yeah, so it's kind of, it's a bit magical realism as well. Like, it's New York City, but it's not our New York City. But at the beginning, I was like, maybe these are based on real people.
Oh.
And it isn't. It's a different, alternate version of New York. It has to be. Because
is it like in the past or is it
current? It's set in current. Okay. And it's about three 12-year-olds. And they're basically going on this epic quest to solve this cipher. So basically 59 years ago, these famous people that, you know, founded a lot of the technology in New York City in the past left a cipher and they disappeared for New York to... solve, and it's never been solved. They live on one of these Morningstar buildings, and they're about to get evicted because someone's finally convinced the council to let them, you know, a developer's convinced them to sell them this old cruddy running down building to turn into some new fancy condo filled apartment block, and they're like, we have to solve this cipher so we can stop them from doing this.
Okay.
And it's just all about them. It's basically like a treasure hunt, basically. They're trying to go and solve the mystery of this cipher. But it's just, it's just a really entertaining story so far. I'm loving it. Yeah. I can't wait till Caitlin's old enough so she can read it. She's not that far off. It's young.
Okay. Yeah.
Read it.
Maybe I'll get it for Matthew.
It's worth it. It's worth it. If he'd be able to do Harry Potter, I think he would definitely be able to do this.
Yeah, I'm not sure he's quite up to Harry Potter yet, but I could read it to him.
You could read it to him, yeah. But I just mean from a comprehension perspective, if he could comprehend and be okay following that story, which I think he would be, I think he would be able to follow this.
Okay.
So, yes. Anyway, and Bone Gap, I'm still very new into it, but that was another one that Librarian Association person was saying was excellent. I was like, oh, I've had that on my
We should quickly mention that. So we had our first Lady Helen book club. Actually, we've renamed it now. It's just called the Dark Days Club.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
A book club at the Riverbend Books at Bulimba. And we're going to have that. So there was only a few of us there, but we talked about Lady Helen and got all these a great big list of recommendations from the staff at the shop. So if you want to see the list of recommendations, you can join our Dark Days Club group on Facebook. Mm-hmm. I will put a link to that on the show notes. But if you're in Brisbane, you're welcome to come along to our next meeting. I think it's probably going to be on the 18th of August, which is a Friday night. And we had wine and cheese and mm-hmm. talked about books. It was lovely.
I thought it was great that they were willing to show us their upcoming books and everything. Yeah, that was awesome.
I think, well, we're not sure how we're going to do it next time, if we're just going to just chat amongst ourselves or if we're going to ask them to do some more recommendations again, because we all enjoyed that part.
Well, I've followed through with a lot of those.
You read some of them. That's great. So,
actually, I didn't read any of the ones that she showed right then. I read other ones that she mentioned that weren't new, because I read the We Were Lies, which wasn't in the pile, but still.
She mentioned it.
Yes.
So, yeah, that was really good fun.
It was.
So,
And we got special keys.
Oh, we did, yes. Rihanna made us some pretty keys. All right. I think that's pretty much everything we have today. Mm-hmm. So if you want to send us any feedback, tell us how much you love Handmaid's Tale, or
shout us a coffee.
Sorry. Send us a coffee. You can contact us. You can email us at contact@teaandthetreetops.com, or you can get in touch via Twitter @TTreetops or @OakenBookcase.
You can also find a list of all the books and other things that we've talked about in this episode, as well as all of our book reviews, at the Tea in the Treetops blog, which is teaintheTreetops.com.
And you can get buy us a coffee there.
And I still think we should be maybe called Caffeine and Books or something. Caffeine and the Treetops. I don't know.
Coffee in the Treetops.
I'm off topic. Thanks so much for listening.
See you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye.